We thank you for today, and we thank you for this cooler weather, this little reprieve, and we really appreciate that since our air conditioner is not working at the moment. And we ask your grace, particularly be with Jerry, and pray that they get all this cleared up and get this settled so he doesn't have a recurrence of this. And, continue to help Jan in her recovery, and just ask your grace and blessing. Gather your church together today, and let it be a great day for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And in Luke, Jesus is, there's sort of a break in the timeline. We sort of see these, as we watch, as we go through Luke, you see it. It's sort of episodic in the sense that all of these things will happen one right after them, they're all connected, and then there'll be a timeline break. Like here in Luke 18, it says, one day, so now we're broken off from everything, you know, now it's a day or two later or something else, you know, it's not like a, you know, it's not immediately tied to anything. So, and he's talking, you know, one day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Okay, so that's how it starts off. How Luke, you know, Luke, whoever Luke talks to, remember Luke learned all of this by interviewing people who were there, and through the help of the Spirit, and through going back and talking to the people who were eyewitnesses, he's compiling this. And so Luke is going, okay, one day, you know, a couple days later, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he gives them this story, tells them this parable about how they should pray and never give up. And then he goes into the parable. And there are a lot, we've seen a lot of parables that make us scratch our head. You know, we've seen some where you just, you know, what is he saying here, you know? And this is one of those parables. And so, you know, it's the story of the unrelenting widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. Sounds like a Supreme Court, you know. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Okay, so what do we do with that? You know, that becomes the question. That's the parable. What do we do with that? And that's, you know, Jesus, you know, he says, Jesus goes on to say, listen to what the unjust says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I'm not sure that helps. You know, it's like, okay, you know, what are we doing here? You know, the problem the judge has is that the woman wouldn't give up. She just kept showing up and just kept showing up and just kept showing up. And when you first read this parable, it almost is sounding like he's saying, well, if you just keep praying, you will bug God enough that he will give you what he wants. And it almost sounds like that, doesn't it? You just keep bringing, you know, just like you have a little child, you know, please, and you finally just give up because they won't stop, you know. And that's what it sounds like. And when you listen to some people pray, they really bought into that, you know. And I don't, you know, it's pretty obvious that's not what he's saying, you know. But that's, you know, when you read the story, it sort of comes across that way. And it always helps us, you know, when you read these, when you come across these head-scratcher stories, you know, you got to go back to the three basic rules or guidelines for scripture study is, you know, keep it in context, compare scripture with scripture, you know, interpret the less clear passages by passages that are clear, Okay, you use the lens of the scripture to do that, and under that. And I think when we do that kind of a thing, we can come up with some conclusions that that help us. Because when you tell a story, you can it's almost like a contrasting parable. You know, he's not saying that God is like the judge. He's saying that even this judge will do this. God isn't like that at all. He's saying sort of an opposite kind of a thing. So I think there's some there's some things we can draw when we look at everything the scripture says about prayer. There's some simple statements. Prayer is not about motivating God to do something. Okay? Sometimes we think it is. Sometimes we approach prayer like we're approaching somebody to convince them of our point of view. We want to motivate them, you know. You know, 2 Peter 3:19, Peter explains the reason the second coming of Christ is delayed is not because God wants the people to perish, but because he wants them to come to repentance. You know, God delays them because he wants them to come. He's eager to bless. He's eager to bless. So, you know, Jesus isn't saying that God is like the unjust judge. You know, he's going to sit there and until you bug him enough, and then you're going to get what you want, you know. In fact, it is he's giving the exact, God is exactly the opposite. It's a comparative contrast parable. You know, the idea is if this widow can get justice by being persistent and gain satisfaction, how much more confidence can we have by approaching a God who wants to bless us? See, if she can get justice just by keep pounding on this, yeah, we need to shut one of these doors because it's going to get really good, you know, by keep pounding on this, you know, irreverent judge, if she can get justice, how much more are we going to have justice with God who wants to bless us? That's the idea, you know. If we can get that, that will help us quite a bit. It'll help us get that sense of what this is really about. And because it turns out to be one of those things where we just got to, you know, we understand it's a contrasting parable. Thank you, ladies. You know. And secondly, prayer is not about telling God what needs that are there that need to be met. In the sense that God does not need us to inform him. Yeah. God does not need us to inform him of what's going on, you know. And because sometimes it's like that, you know, God, you know, Billy is really just, you know, we got to explain the whole situation to God so God understands. Well, yeah, God has a better understanding than we do, you know. So it's just that kind of thing, you know. Jesus said, you know, do not worry, saying, what should we eat, what should we drink, what should we wear? The pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. God already knows. So we don't have to worry about trying to motivate God to do something. And we don't have to, prayer isn't about informing, giving God the FYI so that he has the right information to make the right decision. Yeah, and sometimes that's just exactly how we approach it. But that's not it either. And it's not about getting God to change his mind, you know. You know, at least three times in the Bible we read similar to what's written in Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, or nor the Son of Man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? You know, God isn't like us. He's not like us. You know, Hebrews 3:13-8 says that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that he's not like us. We don't need him to try and motivate him or try to change his mind, and he's not going to, you know, we don't have to change his mind about what's going to happen, you know. People would say, well, didn't God change his mind? And, quote, you know, there's a couple places and examples in the Old Testament where, you know, well, didn't God say he was going to do this? And you know, like with Nineveh? Well, no, what God said was, basically, you know, if they don't repent, this is what's going to happen. they did repent, so that didn't happen. God didn't change his mind. You know, God is covenant, and there's always positive and negative. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, this is going to happen. But if you do, then something else is going to happen. That's not God changing his mind. That's God keeping his word. And he didn't change his mind, and we need to see that. And I think we would understand that, you know, as we do with kids sometimes. Sometimes we'll get there and say, well, you know, you're not going to be able to do what you want to do because you haven't taken care of your room yet. And then the kid turns around and goes in and, you know, cleans their room and does a couple other extra things. And, okay, well, you did that. Okay, well, now you can go. You haven't changed your mind. You just had stated conditions. When they met those conditions, you know, there's a different outcome. So God doesn't change his mind. So if we get that understanding about God, that helps us in how we relate to it, how we relate to prayer. You know, this persistent widow was just pounding on this irreverent judge, and the judge will eventually give in. He says, God isn't like that at all. That God is, you know, the idea is God is exactly the opposite of that. You know, if she can win against this nutcase, God is, this sort of is showing that, you know, it's an extreme example that God is extremely the other way. You know, and we need to get that. Because God desires to teach us and lead us into deeper relationship with him, and that's what he wants. He wants, just like we would like our kids to be able to do this, we're trying to teach them something, and it's not just a matter of, okay, here's the rules, you break your rules, you do this. We're, you know, there's more behind it than that, and God is always that way. And sometimes we need to understand, too, that God, let me say this differently, that sometimes we have a tendency to look at prayer like an opinion poll. The more people we get on our side, the greater the leverage. Okay? Now, I'm a firm believer in prayer chains and getting people praying for people and getting a lot of people praying and exercising their faith. That's not leveraging God. That is an expression of trust in God and an expression of love for the person. And that is about us. God already knows the person's need. But God has also said that there are times that things that happen because people pray and because they have faith. And so we need to be obedient, and we need to pray, and we need to have faith and understand that there's a direct connection between the things we do and the things that happen. And so, you know, God isn't going to be swayed by the number of people who pray. Like, okay, well, if you guys get, you know, it's like on the Facebook page, you know, if you get 1,000 likes, we'll get, you know, it's not that. And sometimes it's like that. Let's get, we get, you know, but I believe in the fact that we need to get as many people praying as possible, because prayer by itself and faith by itself is a powerful thing, you know, and that it makes a difference. And that when it makes a difference, that makes a difference not just for the person you're praying for. It makes a difference for every person that prays. See, prayer is life-changing, not just for the person in need, not just for the person you're praying for. It is life-changing for every person, even every person who prays. When they have prayed and they something happens, they think, wow, that was really awesome. And they grow in their relationship with God. God wants all of that. And we need to buy into it. I knew one guy who bought into it so much that we took a spiritual gifts test at the church here 20 years ago. And he came away from the spiritual gifts test thinking he had the gift of healing. Okay. And I said, well, what makes you think of you have the gift of healing? Well, I can't tell you that a number of times people have asked me to pray, and I prayed for them, and God did something, and they were healed. Okay, we need to have a talk about the difference between prayer and what the gift of healing is. You know, but you can see what was going on. He would be part of this group that was praying, and the prayer would be answered, and that person's life would be changed, but it was changing him. And that's you know, that's part of that whole process. God uses prayer as something that unites us in love, unites us in faith, unites us in purpose, and does as much for the person praying as it does for the person receiving the benefit of the prayers. And because God is always about doing what is right. And he is also always about doing what he sees as right. We don't always see that. We don't always see the big story. We don't always see the big picture. But he does. So I can remember one day talking about this parable many years ago and said, okay, well, if prayer isn't motivating God to act, and it isn't informing him what needs to be done, and it isn't, you know, and we went down this list, then why pray? Well, just because you're not, you know, having that kind of influence you think you're having, you are having influence. And because, you know, James says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That God responds to prayer. God wants to do some things, but what we need to always remember is that God, in his relationship with us, always acts in accordance with who he is and the covenant he has with us in Jesus. We have a new covenant in Jesus, and that new covenant has parties, has us, and God has an intermediary with Jesus, and he brings us together, and it has things that God says he will do, and things that we say we will do, and there are consequences if we do or if we don't. And part of that covenant is that God wants to bless. He wants to bless. That doesn't mean he's automatically going to bless. He wants to bless, and sometimes that blessing is depending on us praying. So prayer is part of our covenant agreement with God. Prayer opens the door for that, you know. And prayer opens the door for that covenant growth with us as well as with the person we're praying for. And a lot of times we associate this, you know, almost on the wrong sense. I'm trying to think of prayer is one of those tools that God uses in us to get us to grow in our faith and exercise our faith. But it is also a tool that he wants to use in us to help us get on the same page with him. And which means get off the page that is about ourselves and on a page that is about others. And sometimes people pray, but all they do is pray about what they want. They never praying in relationship with God, never developing a relationship with God, never talking to God. This is what their prayer is, like a shopping list, you know. And they have their shopping list and they're on their way to Walmart, you know. And it's like they get to the teller and they're presenting their shopping list, you know. And God wants more relationship with that than that. And so prayer is one of those ways to develop that relationship. And, yeah, he wants more of a conversation, you know. Yeah. Philip Yancey wrote a book called Searching for the Invisible God and says some of our confusion in prayer is the result of the way we pray. You know, that we just don't get it. I want to read this thing that he wrote in the book. It's a little bit of a paragraph. He says, this is what was one paragraph in the book about it. It says, a friend in Japan wrote that he has understood the proper spirit of prayer more by listening to Japanese Christians than from the teaching of the American missionaries. We know how to come to God as humble servants with boldness, he says. You don't have to tell Japanese people about hierarchy. When they learn that God is the Lord, they immediately know all the implications of that. They know who's boss, and that is never questioned. When they pray, they use language that combines the highest forms of speech and the most intimate phrases of love and devotion. When they ask for something, they ask with true humility, knowing they have no right to ask for what they're asking, except that God gives them the very right to ask and promises to answer. That's pretty deep, isn't it? He says, yeah, we learn, you listen to these people, they know about hierarchy, they know about that, and so it makes, you know, when he said that, you know what it made me think of? Jesus and his interaction with the Roman centurion. You know, come heal my servant. Okay, I'll be right there. Oh, you don't need to come. You know, I know about power and authority. You know, if I have power and authority. I tell this guy to go, he goes. I tell this guy to come, he comes. Just say the word. Jesus says, I found no greater faith in all of Israel. See, that is where God is trying to take us. Because prayer is that means, one of those means by which we develop, like Kathy said, our relationship with God. We need to understand, and I think possibly what was coming out of Philip Yancey's idea is, we don't come into prayer with God as equals with God. We come to God as the one, he is alone the one who can meet our needs. You know, he's the one who gives the strength. He's the one who can break the power of sin. He's the one who can turn darkness into light and death into life. And so we need a relationship with him, you know, more than he needs a relationship with us, more than we need anything else. And so he wants us to develop that relationship that is both dependent and intimate, you know, and not privileged and entitled. And I think, you know, the American church comes at this almost like prayer is an entitlement, you know. Yeah, you know. And you know, most of us have to confess, a lot of times, the only time we pray is when we really need something, right? I mean, sometimes it's just hard to get, you know, sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes, okay, God, you know, we really don't really get heart to heart with God until we're really in deep need, you know, and we need to develop that. And develop that ability to just enjoy that time with God. Because if we can develop the right kind of relationship, I mean, sometimes you can enjoy being with someone and you're not doing anything and you're not really even talking. You're just being with somebody and you're just enjoying that time. Okay. That's the kind of relationship God wants us to have with him, where we can just be in his presence and do that. And a lot of times we don't ask with the intention of waiting for God to answer. We ask with the intention of, hey, I'm in the prayer drive-thru. You got to, you know, I'm right here. You know, I'm at the window. Giving you my prayer. I paid for my product. I'm waiting. You know, and we come to God that way. And that's not the way God was. God is not a drive-thru window. You know, and so we need to sometimes pray for something and have the willingness just to be patient and wait for God to answer and do that. And in the middle of that prayer, be very yielding in the sense of, you know, God, I come to you today, I have this concern on my heart, but bend my heart to your will. I don't know what your will is in this. I know what I think. I know what I think you should do. But you do what you see needs to be done, and help me bend my will to yours. You know, be very yielding, and you know, that's, but you just don't hear that, you know, and we need to hear that more. How do you develop that? sometime. And I know a lot of couples go through this, you know, particularly the difference between men and women. You know, men speak about 12,000 words a day, women speak about 25,000 words a day, so about the time they both get home, she's about half done and he's done. And, you know, so, hi, sweetie, how was your day? Why are you interrogating me? I'm not interrogating you! You know, but, you know, for a guy, you know, that idea. She's not asking for anything. So how do you develop a relationship with God? How about spending some time, sometime in the end of your day, just reviewing your day with the Lord? Hey, Lord, this was a great day, wasn't it? Remember when this happened, you know, and I remember that, you know, when, and you just review your day, just like you would do with each other. You know, what happened at work today? You know, and review your day and how you did, how you think you did, who you had an impact on, who had an impact on you. Review your day. You know, that's why sometimes prayer journaling can really help with that. If you're into that, if you can do that, that's fine. If you can sit down at some point and write that out, you know, or type it on your computer, guess God, okay, God, here's my day, and review your day. Review, you know, that helps build relationship. Silence doesn't help build your relationship with anybody. You know, so, and then go from there. And perseverance in prayer, which this parable seems to be pointing to, you know, it's not a bad thing. Sometimes we need to persevere in prayer because that's our test. That's not convincing God or you know, bugging God until we get what we want. That is the idea that we're willing to see an issue and hang on to that issue and bring that issue to the Lord because it's important. You know, it's important for that person what we're praying for, and it builds our character. You know, it builds our character. Sometimes you just need to keep, you know, most of us are pretty short-sighted. We live in the immediate gratification culture. And, you know, Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. He asked God to take away and take away and take away. And God never took it away. But he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And then, you know, Paul came to proclaim, when I am weak, he is strong. See? And sometimes we need to get to that point where we're developing that. And that only comes through a long time of relationship and a long kind of doing that. And we get to that point where we can say, like Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. You know, and build our character. And when you're praying, it helps keep you from drifting away. If you're talking to somebody, you know, if you're silent, if you give somebody the silent treatment, then you're drifting away. You're separating yourself. You're immediately separating yourself from that person and destroying relationships. You may think that you're teaching them a lesson. You may think that you're, you know, you may think all kinds of stuff, but those are lies straight from the pit of hell. If you're not talking, there's no communication, there's division. That's hard to understand. It's hard for guys to get. Guys have a hard time getting that, you know. But we need to understand that. The scariest verse in this is the last one. When the Son of Man comes, when you think of the context, always keep things in context. So he tells this parable about this widow who just keeps bugging this judge to death until he finally relents. And he's proving and showing that God is exactly the opposite of them, that God is eager to please. God is eager to please. So you don't have to do that. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find anybody that's grown in their relationship with the Lord? Will he find anybody who's true and persistent? Will he find anybody who's staying true and not giving up? That throws a whole different light on it, doesn't it? Jesus is saying, hey, when I come back, any of you guys going to be faithful? That's a freaky verse. Yeah, you're going to be faithful. You're going to be, you know, and you have to look at it long term and short term. Long term is, yeah, I want to be faithful, which means short term is don't worry about being faithful for the rest of your life. Be faithful today. It's all we can do. We can be faithful today. If you're faithful today, you've won. Then tomorrow, you be faithful today, and then tomorrow you can be faithful tomorrow. You know, one day at a time. So that's a head scratcher parable, isn't it? So it's like, whoa, what is he saying here? But I think we can get it, and gives us a lot of good insights in prayer. And more insights in prayer we have, the better, because prayer is just talking to God, and God wants us to talk to Him. And sometimes we have a hard time talking to each other, you know, and sometimes what we talk to and who we talk to isn't the right thing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. You know, we read these head-scratching parables sometimes and struggle with them. And hopefully you're getting the right idea. And I think it's hard to mess up when we realize that prayer is just you trying to develop a relationship with us and us being humble before you and all of these things we've talked about. And we need to work on that. Because we want you to be at ease in our lives, and we want to be at ease in relationship with you. And so help us to learn these lessons and to learn how to share our days with you and learn how to involve you in that constant daily routine of conversation with you. And then when we can converse with you, that also helps us converse with others. And once we have expressed our faith and grown in our faith with you, we can express our faith and share our faith with others. It's all interrelated. So help us to see that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Got to talk to the right person. I told him Wednesday night, you know, sometimes I question my sanity. And every once in a while, it answers me back. You know.